This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. This is show number 239. With me, fresh back from a trip to Walt Disney World. Lisa, what's happening?
What's going on, Sam?
Welcome home.
It's good to be home. I love sleeping in my own bed, but I do miss Walt Disney World.
And as do I. And as I say welcome home, I have reminded to my last trip, which included a DVC stay, when everybody says welcome home, and I absolutely love that.
And I had that same experience this trip as well.
Hey, we're going to talk about that in just a second. Also with us here this week, Morgan, what's happening?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
It's going great, although we're going to be talking about our recent trips. I'm sure you're either planning one or we're always planning our next trip, right?
Oh, yeah. I am almost at 30 days from my next trip, but I can't wait to hear about your guys' trip.
Beautiful, and there's so much happening. So a little perspective. I was in the Magic the third week in May 2018, and Lisa, you're fresh back, like, today back, which is cool because everything's fresh in your mind, which included the Galactic Nights on the 27th. We'll get to that. Really cool. But I thought we'd start by comparing some notes on the latest trip, maybe what key people can expect for the summer of 2018, because we've talked about all this news and all these things happening. We got to experience a little bit of that, and then maybe compare some Galactic Nights, if that sounds like a good show for tonight and everyone. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Cool. So I started my trip at the Dolphin and did a split stay, as you did as well. I was at the Dolphin for a little while, so that means time at Studios and time at Epcot. And then I wrapped up at the Bay Lake Tower, which is amazing DVC property. We'll get to that in a bit. Lisa, you did some splitting and DVCing as well, didn't you?
I did. So this trip, we stayed, we were down for 6 nights, which is a long trip for just Angela and I. But we did have a dual purpose. However, we did stay at All-Star Movies for the first 3 nights, which was Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. And then on Monday, we switched over to Kidani Village over at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Very nice. For
rented points and got a Savannah View studio. And I will tell you, boy, that was a great idea, and what a gorgeous location that resort is.
I can absolutely say the same for Bay Lake Tower, staying in a one-bedroom suite. I had the Bay Lake view, not the theme park view. That was a points availability thing, but absolutely wonderful, and it's all about location. Your location being right there on the Savannah and mine being walking distance to the Magic Kingdom. This is what vacation's supposed to be about.
And I'll tell you, Sam, when they first built the Animal Kingdom Lodge, I thought to myself, that's just so far out of the way. I'm not certain I ever would want to stay there. And now that I've stayed there, I definitely go back. I really liked that it was out of the way. I really liked that it was away from everything. And that Savannah, even if I didn't have a Savannah view, the lobby and sitting in a rocking chair, which I did one morning to let Angela sleep in, I grabbed a cup of tea. I sat on the rocking chair overlooking the Savannah. It was pouring out, but the rocking chair is under an overhang. And I sat there watching the animals in the rain, and I thought it was fabulous.
That's awesome. And location is everything. And I can diddle that. Kind of the opposite for Bay Lake Tower. And it was interesting, the split I did. The Dolphin, which is kind of Swan and Dolphin in the Epcot Resort area in the middle of everything. But then you move out to Bay Lake or one of the Monterey resorts, and you have amazing access to Magic Kingdom. But everything else feels so far away. But that's okay. I'm good with that, because this was all about having the family, having the kids, and walking to Magic Kingdom, spending some time until the daily rain shower that you alluded to came, then walk back over to Bay Lake Tower, maybe use the pool, some of the facilities, and the DVC property with the full kitchen. It's amazing. It was a great trip, for sure.
Now, Sam, when you set up a trip like that, and I'm just out of curiosity, I haven't done a lot of split stays. But when you set up a trip, specifically yours kind of makes sense. I stayed in the same resort area, but you were in the Epcot Resort area, and Hollywood Studios was right next door. And then you moved over to Magic Kingdom. Did you plan your trip in accordance to how close you were to those parks?
I absolutely did. So we backloaded the trip with our fast passes for Magic Kingdom, which was a little tricky because, right, when you have little ones, the first thing they want to do is head over to Magic Kingdom. And
right.
We kind of had a, okay, we're going to start at Epcot. Flower and Garden was still going on at the time. We're going to do some cool things. So for a few days, it was Epcot and Studios. But then once we moved, it was Magic Kingdom for 3 days straight. And that's really all it was.
Right. And look, that's not a kid thing.
It's not, but you know what I mean? The kids want to see the castle immediately. So do I, but I also know that, look, all we have to do is walk it over to the International Gateway, see kind of what's going on, which, by the way, a recurring theme of this trip not only was rain, but it was construction, and I'm sure you noticed that as well. Construction everywhere in all of the parks.
And do you have a car when you're down there, Sam?
I did not have a car this trip. In fact, I did do something that I hadn't done previously, which was arrange for Bell Services at the Dolphin to move my bags over to Bay Lake Tower, and they were indeed able to do that.
Now, that's fabulous. So this is the first time in 8 years that I had a car on property. It had been an incredibly long time since I had driven a car around property. And I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. So, like I had said earlier, I had an alternative motive for the trip. A lot of my stuff that I needed to do was off property. And then I'd come back and enjoy the parks either, you know, in the morning and then go off property for the middle of the day and then come back onto property and do something at night. But I didn't know how I would feel having a car, and I thought it was great. I thought it was fabulous.
Now, that actually leads into a question that I have for both of you guys doing a split stay, because I've done a split stay myself. Did you find it easier, and would you recommend doing a split stay with a car or utilizing the Bell services to move your luggage from one resort to the other?
I think the flexibility of being able to do either is good.
I think it's a personal preference.
Yes. And there may be some other considerations that go into that. For me, it was... You know, a ride from the airport to the Dolphin, and then I didn't think about a car until we left Bay Lake Tower a week later to head back to the airport. And the only thing I drove was my car, and I was good with that for this trip. It was fine.
And so for me, I've done a split stay. We did a split stay for our honeymoon a year and a half ago. And it was nice to walk out of the French Quarter, leave my luggage there and say, okay, we're heading over to the boardwalk and then go off to Epcot for that day and then walk out of the International Gateway into our room. And within like an hour or two, my luggage was there, and that was fine. This trip, I specifically planned the turnover day almost when I just saw a picture of somebody in front of a chalkboard and there was a million things written down on it. And they said, okay, now this is day one and day two of Disney. Like, that's how I planned out my turnover day, my travel day, with getting up in the morning, throwing the suitcases in the car. We went to Animal Kingdom that morning.
Sure. Nice.
Left Animal Kingdom at 1 o'clock, drove over to Kidani Village, which, by the way, Morgan, rock star move for the underground parking at Kidani Village.
It's the best. It's like they're almost their little secret that they have that underground parking.
So it's a parking garage underneath?
It's almost like there's not a full first floor because part of the first floor is underground. Is underground, I guess, is the wrong word, but parking that's shaded, which, I mean, of course, in Florida is a park, major park to get your car covered in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
The rain, like Sam said, it rained. It was, we were coming back in the middle of the day. The weather was inclement. I didn't have to deal with a single lick of getting a drop on me because we pulled in, pulled underneath, drove over to the elevator, parked right near the elevator, walked over to the elevator, got in, went to the fourth floor, got out, walked five rooms down, and we were at our room.
Very nice.
Oh, perfect.
So it was great. And so the actual transfer was fabulous. We pulled right up to the front gate and went up to the front desk at the hotel lobby, and they were like, yep, your room's ready. Here it is. Park your car at Rafiki. Okay. So we drove down, parked at Rafiki, came up, and I was floored with how easy it was to get in and out of that property with the elevator to the vehicle.
And if you had still been at All Star Movies, you're opening a door right into the rainstorm.
Right. And we dealt with that a couple of days as well.
Sure.
Because we were in a 101 Dalmatian room because I had requested something closer to parking. So that was the catch with the 101 Dalmatian room. We booked that after Animal Kingdom Lodge. And the only thing that was available for annual pass holders was a preferred room. Well, preferred room isn't really near parking.
It's near the amenities and a bus stop, right?
That's right. It's near the amenities and near the front of the resort, but there really isn't a lot of parking there. So I had to request a preferred room that was further away from the amenities, but still a fairly decent-sized walk from the parking lot.
Yeah, I get it. And you're really getting to some of the differences between value and deluxe. And, we could have a conversation all about that. But I love being able to walk into a hallway and not open a door and be in the weather. Especially in the summertime, you open the door and the humidity just hits you. I'm going to walk down a hallway, get a cup of coffee, check out the lobby, come back. And in your case, parking underneath, that's awesome. I wasn't aware of that. That's great.
Now, Sam, when you were down there, you got to experience the Flower and Garden.
We were there for the very end of the Flower and Garden Festival, which ran all the way until the start of the summer and Memorial Day weekend, which was kind of cool, right? So I think everybody knows I'm a huge fan of the Flower and Garden Festival. When I go to Epcot and it's not a festival, I think it feels kind of empty. But that's probably just because I'm so used to the extra kiosks and the extra booths and the extra stuff. Love the Flower and Garden Festival. And yes, we made it for the end of that. And also to see a lot of additional construction happening over there at Epcot, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I bet all that stuff along the backside of France and all the stuff that you were looking at. I imagine coming down the monorail, you could see the backside.
From the monorail and from the International Gateway. So walking in through the International Gateway as you approach, the gondola system is well under construction. There are posts everywhere. The station's being built back there at International Gateway. Most of the construction for the new Ratatouille attraction is actually behind Morocco, not necessarily behind France. And if you happen to be in a ride that a car that travels around the loop that connects the boardwalk and the yacht club and the Swan and Dolphin, which we were in at one point in an Uber, there you can see the construction site for that attraction. Bam, it's right there almost up against the road.
Yes, we drove it on purpose just to check it out.
And it's like, wow, there it is. Which is really cool. And then, of course, on the front of Epcot, all the construction happening up there for the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster is underway. Great views from not only the monorail, but Test Track has some great views of what's happening out there.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to get on Test Track this trip, but I bet you're right.
Come zooming around, right? When you blow out of the building, looking at Mexico, and then when it turns around and comes back, you're looking at this huge thing that looks like an Erector set over there being built because it's not far away from Test Track, which is really cool. Did you notice, too, that they themed the construction walls up in the front?
No, I did not.
So they have a Guardians of the Galaxy theme to the construction walls that are wrapped around Ellen's Energy Venture, which is pretty cool. Gives you a little excitement of what's to come up in the front.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, when I was there in March, they just had the basic wall, so it's cool they finally got them themed.
Yeah, they're themed, and it looks really cool, and it makes you go, maybe this is going to be cool. I can't wait. Bring a little excitement to it. It's much better than just the green construction wall, which is cool. There's also, when you're on the monorail, and I if you did a monorail from Transportation Center over to Epcot, as you approach Epcot, you can see near the parking lot that there's some surveying going on to the parking lot, and the wooded area, if you're looking at Epcot to the right-hand side, and we speculated a couple of shows ago that that's the potential location of a future hotel, so there's definitely some survey markers going on out there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is kind of cool, so we'll see how that goes in the grand scheme of things, right? Lisa, when you got to Epcot, Flower and Garden was finished. Is that correct, or was it still going on?
No, we did Epcot on Saturday night, and then we did it again on Tuesday night. Saturday night, it was still going on.
Was that the last day, or was that close to the last? I think Sunday was the last day, so you were there Saturday.
Yeah, I think it ended on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it ended on Sunday. But I will say it was raining. It was a little reminiscent of our walk through the last trip and being able to walk right up. We went to the Honey Bistro and and grabbed a few things before walking around. We hit a few booths that we had not hit during our last trip, and we hit a lot of booths on the last trip, so we were in pretty good shape. One of the things we did get, Sam, and I don't know whether or not you got this on your trip, but did you pick up the Donald magnet?
So I got the mini magnet at Flower and Garden, and yes, the Donald Duck pass holder magnet over at Hollywood Studios, yes.
And that was in a very unique location. Different from where you got the Mickey and Minnie magnets, which were in Epcot in that back little hallway.
Right.
This was in a store.
Yeah, right in the main store on the right-hand side. I think that's the Five and Dime, if I remember right.
Yes. I thought that was strange.
When they did the Passholder Christmas magnet, you could only get it at Hollywood. So I would assume it'd be very similar because it was getting them in the stores.
Yeah, same thing then.
Yeah. And I missed out on the mini magnet. I'm a little sad about that.
It was the first Minnie and Mickey, so you got to wonder who's going to be next, right? These annual pass holder magnets are pretty cool.
My favorite, Goofy.
They're going to go through the Fab Five, so they got Goofy and Pluto, maybe even a Daisy.
Could be. So, Lisa, you were there for the start of some of the incredible summer fun. I did notice while I was there in Tomorrowland, there was incredible merchandise. Essentially, the Incredibles had taken over the store that was the exit to the Stitch attraction. It was all Incredibles in there. I'm assuming that was still the case.
That was definitely still the case. And if you didn't see it, or if they weren't there when you were there, all these awesome photo opportunities have popped up all around Tomorrowland, and Angela and I had an opportunity to do some of them last night, and the photo pass photographers that are there are great. They want you to pretend like you're running away and give your greatest superhero pose and give your greatest scared pose, and they do a great job. But there are a lot of pictures that we had done that were done by photo pass photographers that were great.
That they were not there, and that's really cool then, that's part of the Incredible Summer. So was it scenes from The Incredibles, or was it Incredibles 2, or what was it all?
Looks like it's the Underminer, like one of the pictures is the Underminer coming up out of the ground. Yeah, there are a few options. I'll have to send you them for the show notes.
Absolutely, let's do that, because I think that's pretty cool that they're doing that.
I feel like photo passes are becoming really huge. I mean, I hear they've even got a photo pass photographer in front of the Purple Wall.
I heard that as well. And a drink, the Purple Wall slushie. Have you seen that?
Yes, yeah. My friend sent it to me because I'm actually going with her when I go. And man, she's like, you got to try it. So I will be sure to try it on my next trip.
Very nice.
I will tell you, and we will jump, just because it's part of this summer theming that they have going on. But we did have an opportunity to experience Donald's Dino Bash.
Oh, so this is new over to Animal Kingdom. It had not opened when I was there. There were still walls around it. So tell us about Donald's Dino Bash.
So this is just increased photo opportunities with some of your main Disney characters, Chip and Dale, dressed up in some dino gear, Daisy, Donald. But the real big draws, and we were able to get pictures with the two of them, and I'll put them in with the show notes, is Scrooge McDuck.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And then Launchpad McQuack.
Nice.
And those, like, that, these characters were great. They're incredibly interactive and a lot of fun. They were a lot of fun.
That's great. And so this is obviously in Dino Land. When I was there, the previous meet and greet where Goofy and Pluto used to be sort of to the right of Triceratops Spin next to the store, that was behind walls. Is that where it is, or is it all over Dino Land, or where's it happening?
It's spread out all over Dino Land. I think I saw 1, 2, 3, because Pluto's there too, 4, 5, 6, there must be 7 or 8 picture opportunities over there.
That is great. I love it. When I was there, I did have the opportunity to attend the DVC Midnight Madness at Animal Kingdom, or whatever exactly what it was called, which was an event for DVC members. And they did have Launchpad and Scrooge over there. So it's interesting they kept them, and they're part of the always there now, which is great because that's people line up for those guys.
Yes, they will. And certainly DuckTales has been a big, big hit on the Disney Channel. But Angela asked a really good question, and it's certainly a story topic for another time. But will this be enough to keep Dino Land alive?
It's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Were you able to see the Up Bird Adventure while you were there?
I did not. I didn't get a chance to really experience that, but I will tell you, I listened to a little bit from the outside, and it sounded awesome.
It very much the same animals that had been in the previous show, if you're familiar with it. They just did integrate the characters from Up, which are pretty cool, right? It's a wilderness explorer thing, and he's trying to earn his merit badge, and it's kind of neat. I did get to sit through it. It's a good show. The kids enjoyed it. They like the birds, so it was good.
That's great. And now we move on to the piece de resistance, right?
Where's that? There's so many.
I had a awesome opportunity to attend Galactic Nights during this past trip.
Star Wars Galactic Nights, the hard-ticketed event at Disney's Hollywood Studios. This is the third Galactic Nights that they have had, and it just happened to coincide with the release of the latest Star Wars story, the Solo movie that was released. And the one previous was all around The Force Awakens, and Morgan was able to attend that, The Force Awakens, and you went to the Solo. So what I wanted to hopefully do is hear how things were different or maybe weren't. And so where do you start, Lisa? What were your impressions coming out of that?
First and foremost, I think what makes an event like this is the people that attend it. I saw costumes that I really thought people were walking around in Jedi robes, and I thought, that's really cool. And then I turned around and I was like, holy cow, that person put on like 6 pounds of makeup. And now they look like Yoda. I was like, wow. There is certainly a strong, I mean, Disney purchasing this from Lucasfilms was a great idea. There is such a strong Star Wars following, from little kids walking around to grown adults, all dressed up in the garb, all done up in makeup. There was just, it was a lot of fun. And the first thing that you do when you walk down the main drag there is you're greeted by, a mainstay, right? DJ Elliot.
Sure.
And I know that, Morgan, you had DJ Elliot as well, correct?
Yes.
And that goes all the way back to Star Wars Weekends right there with DJ Elliot, for sure. And that's what when I'm hearing you talking about this, and when you guys do it, I'm just flashing back to Star Wars Weekends, because that's exactly how it was.
I imagine so. So for us, we were able to experience some, but not all of the experiences that they had to offer. But one of the biggest things that we did, just like Morgan did in December, we were able to attend the panel.
The panel discussion, which was also at the Indy Jones Theater, yes?
Yes, it was. Okay. So I sat right in the front row. and had a great shot and a great view of I'm going to forget his name. What's his name? Warwick.
Warwick Davis was the host. Yes. Who, by the way, is in Solo.
He's in all of them.
Yes. He's in every single one.
He is in all of them. And I didn't realize that he had been. But he did a great job getting the crowd rolling. And then the panel came out and they started talking about some of the new announcements. Fresh off the press.
New news. Yes, new news.
News. I'll tell you, the biggest thing that came out that you're seeing everywhere is if you travel past the backside of Hollywood Studios, you can see these spires that are coming up.
Yes.
And now the new area is called the Black Spire.
The Black Spire is the outpost on Batuu. Yes. So we knew the planet. Now we know the name of the outpost.
Yes. So there's a backstory to it where it was a desolate area and it was a hidden, this Black Spire outpost is a hidden area amongst rebels. And there's this whole backstory that they put into play. And one of the panelists really went on and on about how she has come up with all these stories along with some of the other Imagineers, and to think that they have put all this together is just amazing.
Definitely some backstory that I'm sure will tie into the hotel and what's going to happen with the hotel, which, by the way, we saw an official announcement of where the hotel is going to be located, which we sort of all knew. It's just south of Hollywood Studios with a direct entrance into Galaxy's Edge. So that's all cool, and there's some, you know, every time we think 2019 feels so far away, it gets a little bit closer.
Now, I will say one of the things that I was floored by was they are in the process of, right now, behind those walls, building not one, but two AT-ATs.
Full size, correct?
Full size.
Cool.
So when you think about how big those are going to be, that is something you're going to be in awe. We were able to see the inside of the Millennium Falcon and how that was going to work, and that was really neat. And then they're adding a second ship for you to go through.
Very nice.
So there was definitely a lot that came out of that particular panel, and I don't remember, Morgan, and forgive me, but I know that there were several announcements that were made at your panel.
Yeah, actually, they're doing a good job with these Galactic Knights, is because really your panel just added to, like, they didn't really repeat much from the panel that you saw and the panel that I saw, because I mean really they announced the planet where you got to get the name of the outpost. They announced the AT-ATs at yours. I think they announced the Millennium Falcon at mine. So it.
And some X-Wing fighters, if I remember.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're trickling out enough information, and they have, it's just amazing the amount of detail that they are going into. Cause I remember hearing in my panel how even the souvenirs that are going to be available when you're on Batuu, which is the name of the planet that you're going to go to when you go to Galaxy's Edge, mm-hmm. It's not going to be like you walk in and there's your T-shirts and your keychains. It's going to be like you are on that planet, and these are artisan souvenirs made by the people that live on this planet. Like, it is fully immersive, and just the details are amazing. I can't wait.
I did catch a part of the panel when you were live streaming it there, Lisa, and one of the things that I thought was very interesting, and it reminded me of another land that opened recently, which was the pet store that was going to be part of the new
Black
Spire.
Yes, they're happy, interactive, yes.
Yes. So essentially, you're going to take a look at pets in one of these shops, and one is going to pick you, which sounds a lot like the banshee over in Animal Kingdom, and the little banshee that's on people's shoulders. It makes me very interested in what type of creatures we're going to see people walk around with on their shoulders.
It was the exact thing that I thought of.
I would hope that they do more than one type of creature where, you know, in Pandora you get just the banshee. I hope that they do more than one creature just to give that variety.
I'm 100% with you, because I'd love to see different things. I don't know what, but I immediately went to Salacious Crumb, the thing on Jabba the Hutt from The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Especially if you do that laugh. That'd be awesome.
I would make it do that all day long if I had one of those. And just
that would be cool.
And it would annoy people, but I wouldn't care because it would just be so cool.
Galaxy Far, Far Away, which is the stage show. Were you able to catch that, Lisa?
No, we did not.
I wondered if there were any shout-outs to Solo there, if there was, because of the big thing a while back was when Rey showed up, and it was like, oh my gosh, it's Rey, who's now a part of the daily Galaxy Far, Far Away at Hollywood Studios. And was there any tie-in for the Solo movie?
There definitely was. There definitely had tie-ins there, and they also had tie-ins with Galactic Destinations, which was the projection on the Tower of Terror.
Of course.
One other thing from the panel that I thought was really interesting, and now it's the little things for me,
sure.
Is they are bringing back the original voice actor for, and I'm going to mess this up, but I'm going to do my best, Nian Nun, who was in the original Star Wars.
That was Lando Calrissian's co-pilot in the Millennium Falcon at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Okay, so I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think that's right.
So here's the catch with him, is that the guy that did the voice, they did a whole behind the music, if you will, gentleman who did, his name's Kip Sang Rotich, and they did they couldn't find him. They scoured the earth for him. So
wow.
He was a college student, and he just went and figured while he was in college, why not go and do a voice for – he went and did a voiceover. Excuse me. And when he did the voiceover, right soon after he graduated from college, he went back to Kenya. And nobody knew how to get in touch with him. Nobody. So they scoured the earth and finally found him. And they brought him back, and he is doing the voice for one of the attractions in the new Galaxy's Edge.
Wow.
A voice for one of the attractions. Very interesting, because I would immediately think it's the Falcon attraction.
So, if you're looking for that story, definitely. I know on YouTube and in the recent blog that Ed wrote, panel is in that blog and on YouTube.
Perfect. We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
The one other thing is what I was expecting as the March of the First Order wasn't the March of the First Order. It was the March of the Stormtroopers. But
interesting.
The Imperial March, right?
The Imperial March. Yeah, that was a little bit different.
That's cool, though, if you ask me, because that ties to Solo, because the Solo movie is set during the Galactic Empire, not the First
Order.
That's
correct.
And they did the Imperial March for the Galactic Knights that I did, too, and I misread my thing and thought, oh, it's just the First Order, like, I'll skip it. I walked upon it, I'm like, oh, no, it's a different one.
Yeah, so does that mean Vader was
there? Vader was
Lisa?
There.
Yeah, and I...
For both.
Yep. Okay. I did the same thing that you did. I was able to do definitely the Galactic Destinations, but one of the things we were able to do that was nothing short of absolutely awesome, and I was just showing my kids tonight when we got back, was the overlay for Rock and Roller Coaster.
All right, so tell us about this. I want to hear
this. Yes, I want to hear all about this.
This was fabulous, and I kind of wish they had found a way to do a pre-show. But when you're walking into the line, you're walking through the queue, once you get inside, instead of the rock posters that are up on the walls, it's Galactic Knight posters that are up on the walls. So it's all Star Wars. When you walk into...
With the music in the whole
that's
area.
That's right. It's all Star Wars.
So okay.
When you walk into the studio, you just walk through the studio. They didn't stop. They didn't do a pre-show. I kind of wish they had done a little bit of a pre-show, but I get it and I understand. And then you got to the back alleyway, and it's all Star Wars music. And I do have a video separate from the actual video that I took on the ride of the ride being propelled, the countdown and the ride being propelled. But then just like Rock and Roller Coaster, you get in and they do this whole, you know, we're going to get you out of this world as soon as possible, yada, yada, yada. And then they do a countdown and you take off. Now, here's where things change. Obviously, Star Wars music, which was nice. An awesome addition to this ride. And don't get me wrong. I do like Aerosmith and I do love Rock and Roller Coaster, but it was so much better as Star Wars. So
that's cool. Wait, is it better? Or is it just because it's different?
I thought it was better. Now,
okay.
And if they could I understand what they were doing inside the attraction, but I think the music, and again, I'm an Aerosmith fan. I thought the music was phenomenal.
So did they still have like the arrow that points and says Civic Center this way and you go through the corkscrew? Was that stuff lit up or was it not?
It's like Space Mountain inside. With the exception of on the walls of the attraction, they have projections of Star Wars characters. Kylo Ren.
Characters or like ships, like TIE fighters flying back and forth.
Characters and scenes and ships. It was fabulous. And I couldn't catch that when I recorded the video because, of course, I was holding on for dear life. But the overall, I thought it was fabulous. And I'll tell you what it does. It makes me have strong hopes for the future of that attraction. Because we know that someday that partnership, that marriage is going to come to an end, but that ride is going to continue with whatever new piece they put in. And I'll tell you, if they put Star Wars in there, it'd be the first thing I fast pass.
So there, a couple of things come to mind. First is this to me, I never got to ride Hyperspace Mountain in Disneyland, which is essentially taking Space Mountain and adding the same overlay to it. It's a Star Wars overlay to Space Mountain. I think that would be incredible. And if you think Disneyland Space Mountain, the cars and the sound system is much more like Rock and Roller Coaster than Space Mountain in Walt Disney World. It's the newer, smoother track and ride system. I think it's awesome. And if you can switch that for one day, you could switch it to just about anything for a day, right? It's just a matter of projection effects and music soundtracks.
Yes, absolutely you could.
So, for example, if they ever do the Villain Night hard ticket event again, this could easily be transformed into some Disney villain thing. I'm just a thought that came to
mind. Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. There is hope for the future for this.
Sure, I like it. I like it a lot. Tell me a little bit about the photo pass or the photo opportunities at Galactic Knights.
You get to experience just the characters. Launch Bay was incredibly crazy. I didn't even make it over there.
I'm sure I can only imagine.
It was nuts. But you were able to catch, and even regular characters were out. Your Mickeys, your Minis were out.
They were not, were they, was it Jedi Mickey or was it just
Jedi Mickey?
It was very
nice. The lines were crazy.
Because you don't see Jedi Mickey that much. That's very
nice. Not since Star Wars Weekends.
Right. I hadn't seen Jedi Mickey. Cool.
So I will say, overall, the experience was phenomenal. I'm really glad I had the opportunity to go. I met a lot of people there that were helpful in kind of navigating. the panel. They were helpful in navigating the whole process. And then just the cast members from the people inside the park to the woman tapping my magic band at the front gate so that I could park my car. May the force be with you.
Nice.
Everybody was excited. The tram ride up to the entrance, it was all Star Wars from start to finish.
So let me ask you this. It was a hard-ticketed event that happened after the park closed. What time did the event start? When were you able to get in? And let's see if it's the same as it was for Morgan.
It was your garden variety hard-ticket event. It started at 7, but you could get in as early as 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that was the same for me as well.
Very nice. I had heard that one of the things they changed was the photo booths, the photo opportunities. They actually had 2 photo pass photographers at each one. Did you notice that, Lisa?
I didn't notice that, but I also wasn't looking for that. So that wouldn't surprise me.
So that what I was told is there were 2 lines for each of them, which in essence allowed them to continually take pictures. So you had 2 different angles at the backdrop, and you had somebody getting a picture taken while the next people were tapping their bands and doing whatever, and it was just back and forth to get twice as many people through, which is a really good idea.
And you know what? You're absolutely right, because there were definitely 2 PhotoPass photographers at K2SO. So yes. So here I am thinking, but yeah.
And it sounds like it was so efficient, because I think previously, and Morgan, if you remember, there was only 1 PhotoPass photographer. So you dealt with 1 person, put your things down, pose, get your picture taken, and then the next person.
I do remember I actually didn't do any of the PhotoPass opportunities for Galactic Nights in December because I knew it was going to take so much time. And I mean, I'm sure Lisa can attest to this, is even though it feels like you have all this time, there is so much to do that you have to prioritize because you're not going to do everything. So I skipped all the photo pass. But I mean, I heard from guests, like the line is so long for photo pass. So I'm happy to hear that they added the 2 photographers to help that be quicker.
And I guess that's like any hard ticket event. You really have to decide what you want to do going into it. I mean, if you're going to the Very Merry Christmas Party, you got to decide, are you going to do the parades and the fireworks? Or are you going to do the special characters? Or are you going to ride attractions?
Yes.
Almost the same thing here. Are you going to do is that kind of the way to approach it if you go in the future?
I would say that. I know what I did, and I don't know how Lisa game planned, and I know Jimmy was there too. When I got in at 4 o'clock, I had my dad with me. We went to the commissary, got a little light meal because there's a lot of food there, which me and Lisa, I'm sure, are going to cover here in like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm.
especially because you just brought it up.
Exactly.
Yes.
but we went through the guidebook and we basically said, okay, we want to definitely hit this, this, and this. This is a maybe. This is a maybe. It's okay if we skip this.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think we kind of did the same thing. So when we got there, and, you know, my day was a little bit later due to some other obligations that I had. We got in probably at around 6 o'clock. We walked down, you know, talked to DJ Elliott for a little bit. And then one of the things that we did was went over to Baseline. And we got the charcuterie board. And wouldn't you know it, it's Star Wars themed.
Nice. So food, lots of Star Wars inspired stuff. Give me a feel for what Star Wars theme means there, Lisa.
So a great example would be if you went to the charcuterie board was the C-3PO charcuterie board. They had dessert, a Star Wars Celebration Eclair Trio. They also had the Lightspeed Margarita and the Solar Explosion.
Nice.
And then, of course, no Star Wars experience is complete without the Skywalker Vineyards Wines by the Glass.
Skywalker Wines, of course.
And did they have a wine tasting when you were there? Because they had one when I was there in December.
They did have a wine tasting, and you were able to get a wine flight at Baseline.
Yes, of course.
Was Baseline opened when you were there, Morgan?
Yes.
Had it opened?
Yes, that's actually
okay.
Where
I
got my food, my Star Wars themed food when I was there for Galactic Nights, because it was still new. You know, it's perfect outdoor seating. That was a perfect place, in my opinion, to stop and sample. I think I grabbed pretty much almost everything off the menu that was Star Wars themed when I was there at Baseline.
Well, why not?
Well, yeah.
So the description of the meals, Sam, was right up your alley. So, like, say the grilled Wagyu beef slider was described as big and messy. This dish is inspired by Dexter Jetsters of Dex's Diner. And all of it was really – so there was a Bloody Mary grilled shrimp and chorizo skewer, which was fabulous. And this was – it's generously loaded – skewer served with sweet potato hash and was inspired by a robust appetite of the Wookiees. So everything was incredibly well themed. The lemon diver scallop with pork belly was reminiscent of Luke's time on the marine planet of Hachutu. So
now what Lisa did you try that you liked, or actually just what did you try? Because I'm sure you tried more than one thing.
The only thing that we didn't get. There were 5 food items, and the Eclair Trio was the dessert. We didn't get one food item. We didn't get the tofu and noodle salad. We got everything else.
Awesome.
We were able to – one of the cool things is that they did – the Brown Derby Lounge was open, but they were seating you inside the Brown Derby restaurant. So we just got a spread. So we sat down inside the restaurant and I said, just bring me this, this, and this. And we just got a spread and we each tried it. And ironically, we each liked something different off the menu.
That's cool.
And what?
All right.
What would you say your favorite was?
Oh, the Wagyu beef. Okay, I'm never going to turn down Wagyu beef.
Sloppy.
Right.
So 2 snack items I have to ask you about to see if you tried. Did you have the Glow cotton candy?
I did not, but I did have the next one you're going to ask me about.
Okay, so the lightsaber churros.
Yes.
I see that there's a blue one and a red one.
Yep, I had a red one.
Is that base it looks like a lightsaber handle. Is that cardboard or is that something you keep? Is that a souvenir?
It's cardboard.
Yes, they had it in December too. It's cardboard.
So what flavors are though? Are they?
It's your garden variety churro. All it is colored sugar.
It's colored sugar, so it's not like one's strawberry and one's blueberry or something. It's colored. That's cool, though. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it was great.
The kids have to love that, a lightsaber churro. I want one.
You know how many kids were walking around with them?
I was like, all of them.
That's food, not a weapon.
The weapon's in the back. Build your own.
That's right.
Okay, so food, lots of themed food. How about merchandise?
Lots of Star Wars merchandise, but as for Galactic Knights specific merchandise, they only had 2 items. They had a t-shirt and they had a water bottle.
Were these like Galactic Knights 2018? Yep. Was it Galactic Knights Solo? How did it kind of look?
It was white and it said Galactic Knights and it was May 27th, 2018.
It had the actual date on it. Okay.
Yep.
So there were no pins or anything?
No specific pins that we saw. They do have the new specialty, like, Solo pins that they just released. So that all that stuff was there. But nothing that you couldn't find in another park in another area as far as pins were concerned.
That's interesting because there was more merchandise in December. There was, I believe, 2 Galactic Night shirts. There was, it wasn't a water bottle, but it was like a travel coffee mug that was Galactic Knights. They had the pin, they had a poster, and I want to say at least one or two things more. So I'm surprised that they scaled down the merchandise.
Well, that's really funny because we just so happened to bump into Bobby and April. And it was one of the things from Bobby and April from Pixie Purchases by April, which is a great friends of the Disney Nerds podcast.
Yeah.
We were talking. And she had said to me that so much of that merchandise from December made it to the outlets that it seems like they scaled back significantly.
And that was my thought when you said there was less. I mean, Disney does stuff for a reason, right? And if they get stuck with merchandise and it ends up at their outlets, they're just going to cut back on how much they have.
That's right. It's a profitability thing.
It's a profitability and it's a supply and demand thing. They want to make sure that demand continues to be high. And if that means limiting supply, okay. People are now going, oh, man, I didn't get the pin at Galactic Nights 2018. I hope to have them next time. I got to make sure I get it at the next one. That kind of thing.
Yeah, like I made sure that I got a pin because, you know, I like getting the pins, especially for special events. So I made like that was actually the only thing that I purchased was the pin for Galactic Nights in December.
And then you got so you talk about pins. We did get a solo, but everybody got them and they were giving them away a couple of days later. But there was a solo movie pin, but like a pin like
not a button. Pin.
No, like a button.
Okay.
Like a Disney Nerds podcast button. It was just square and said solo.
Yeah, I got a round button at Galactic Nights for Last Jedi because that's what the movie they were promoting in December was.
Yes, so we got that.
Makes complete sense.
But they were giving them away at Hollywood Studios 2 days away, 2 days later.
You know, not surprised, right? It's the good old even getting the Donald Duck magnets, right? One per pass holder.
Right.
One per pass holder per day, one per pass holder. But until the end, right?
Absolutely.
And what I think of is Epcot 35, because Epcot 35, it was so hard to get an extra map or an extra button until you were leaving at the end of the day and the security guards were just handing them out while you left because they didn't want them.
This is into your bag.
Yeah, it was. There's too many of these, and that's, yeah.
Now, Lisa, when you were walking out, since we're kind of still talking about merchandise, I know in your panel and in mine, they talked about trading cards. So did you get those when you walked out? Because that's how I got mine.
Yes, I have them in my possession.
And did you just get trading cards?
I got the big cards as well. No, that's all I got was the big trading cards.
Okay, because I got, a mini poster of Last Jedi for Galactic Nights that, you know, you could frame and, I don't know, maybe a... It's a mini poster, so it's not full poster size. So, again, that just kind of shows you how they, I guess they had too many in December and they scaled back here in May.
Making adjustments as they go.
Yeah.
So these trading cards, like a baseball card in size, and was it a pack of random cards or was it a set? Or what did you guys end up with?
There was a package, so they're all meant to go together.
Like create a puzzle type of thing when you say okay.
Yes. And so we got the last. So what Morgan has is the first set. We have the last set. And when you put them together, it's supposed to, I think when you flip them over, it shows you the land. I think it's the map of the land.
Oh, it's a map of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I haven't had a chance to open those up and take a look at those.
Very nice. So it sounds like that was the main part of your latest trip, Galactic Nights.
It certainly was one of the
best. One of the highlights.
Yeah, one of the highlights. I did other things. I've got blog posts ready to roll. We did some
awesome
outside the four parks thinking. We were able to go experience a few things, including mini golf and. The train room over at Boulder Ridge and Geyser Point, which if you haven't experienced Geyser Point, oh my Lord, fabulous.
Very nice.
It was so good. So I do have some great pictures and stuff coming. It's coming down the pipeline, I promise. One of the things that I will say I have always known about and I've always used, but it was pretty significant because the crowds were high. And I'll use yesterday morning or yesterday mid-morning as a great example. So Angela and I were hungry, and I wanted a little barbecue, and we were at Animal Kingdom. So where else do you go when you want barbecue?
Flame Tree, of course.
Flame Tree, of course. But if you know anything about Flame Tree, that line is like trying to get on Peter Pan's flight.
Oh, yeah.
So I giggled, and I pulled out my phone, and I went onto my Disney Experience app, and I ordered – our lunch. And by the time they had gotten through three people in line, I was walking away with my tray of food. And while I don't necessarily love sharing these nuggets, I know that our Disney Nerds friends need to know about mobile ordering.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
You will, where you'll see it. So I did it on Wednesday at Magic Kingdom, or rather Tuesday morning at Magic Kingdom. I did it, and it was awesome. I did it over at Cosmic Rays. And I know that while Jimmy's down there this week, he sent a picture of the line to get a Dole Whip. And then he ordered a Dole Whip via mobile order. And by the time they got through two or three people, he had his Dole Whip in his hand.
Absolutely. Similar story with Columbia Harbor House. And actually ordering while we were on at the Small World, which is something you can do.
That's what we did with Cosmic Rays. With Cosmic Rays, I waited in line. We were able to meet up with my nieces, happened to be down at Walt Disney World. And I wasn't aware that they were coming down the same time as us. So we met up with them on Tuesday morning. And one of my nieces had not ridden Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which we have talked about is not my favorite attraction. But if it's my niece's first time, it's my goddaughter. I absolutely jump in the line, and it's only 80 minutes and it's raining out. And, of course, the minute you get into the line, they say, the Seven Dwarfs, somebody's gone off the mine train, and we're delayed a little bit. 2 hours later, we finally get on the attraction. The longest I've ever in the history of my Disney nerddom waited in line for an attraction. But while we were in line, that's when I ordered lunch.
Which is wonderful.
Yep. By the time we got off, we walked over. I said, I'm here, ready to pick up. By the time I walked inside, they were calling my name.
That you got to love. The only downside I have at Harbor House, it was lunchtime, and there are more people using mobile order now. On the app, when you hit, you know, you place your order, and then you say, I'm here, which is when you're walking in the door. And they get your order ready, and they announce your number of your order. And on the app, it also says your order's ready. It says placing order, preparing order, your order's ready. And there's probably five people standing right in front of the counter where it says preparing order. And mine says my order's finished, and I'm trying to get through those people to get up there. It was a little bit annoying, but I get it. I understand.
And
we'll work through it, right?
Yeah, there are still people that are learning how to use it. When I was at Cosmic Rays, there was a woman that was all upset that her order wasn't ready yet. And I looked at her and I went, did you hit the button that said –
get it ready.
I'm here. Get my order ready. She goes, I have to do that. I said, yeah.
Yeah, you might want to do that. I get it.
So I think there's people are still working through the kinks. So my question for you, Sam, because I know you'll know the answer to this, is in those areas where, and now it's attached to my Disney Experience, which has my account information, in those areas where we get a pass holder discount, does the discount automatically come off?
I did not experience any discount coming off, but I can also say I'm not sure where the discounts are good anymore.
You get 10% of Pico's, you get 10% of Cosmic Rays.
I know that did not come off of the mobile order for me.
Yeah, because I've used the mobile order as well, and the pass holder discount was not taken off. Because, I mean, I guess they just don't have that connected, or, you know, however it is. I mean, I've actually used mobile ordering in Hollywood and Animal Kingdom and had no problem, no wait, no anything like that, which just kind of shows you how crowded Magic Kingdom is versus the other parks nowadays. I've had no pass holder discount taken off my mobile ordering.
So that needs to be their next upgrade. And then I think that'll totally complete the experience.
They need to get Tables in Wonderland linked. That's a whole nother story.
I'm now a member.
Yeah, and it's not linked to anything. It's still paper card that ends up being a mess. If it gets wet, good luck.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I accidentally put my wallet in the washing machine because I have one of those wallets you can wash, and had to pull it out really quick because my Tables of Wonderland card was still in there.
Oh, no.
So it's, surprisingly enough, you could not read any of it because the back of it was completely, you know, just a black smear, but it was able to scan.
Really?
Yeah.
It scanned, and they'll give you another card if you bring your card up. They'll hand you another one and say, here you go, we reprinted it for you. Which is good. All right, a couple of other very quick things, if I can, from 2018, things you might run into while you're down there. Did you have the opportunity to ride Toy Story Mania at all, Lisa?
I did not, but the last time I was there, I noticed that they have made an adjustment to the entrance.
Absolutely. So what they're doing in the grand scheme of things, we all know that Toy Story Land is going to be opening at the end of June, and when that opens, the entrance gets completely flopped to the other side. You enter through Toy Story Land, so they made some adjustments to the standby queue and fast passes, and they've really changed everything when it comes to getting into that attraction. But more important, what I noticed were changes to the actual attraction and the gameplay that we haven't heard Disney talk about just yet that I expect will be part of the Toy Story Land opening. The first thing I noticed were the scores on the cars when you're done, and they appeared to be much higher than normal. And I was thinking to myself, how the heck are these people getting 650,000? And it turns out there's many more high point targets going through the attraction these days, including new targets that weren't there the last time I rode. So that was kind of cool to notice, something to look out for.
That's pretty cool.
Hall of Presidents, of course, is opened. I'm not sure if you were able to experience that, but I thought it was very nicely done and definitely worth seeing if you have not seen Hall of Presidents in a while.
And now I will say we were able to see it in April. Ironically, it was temporarily closed. This that was there just recently, and I don't know why, but it was temporarily closed. We went and saw it in April, and I totally agree. Like, regardless of whatever political affiliation
doesn't matter.
They have, it's very well done.
It's very well done. It's a must-see. Sticking at Magic Kingdom, the dragon float was no longer in the Festival of Fantasy. I think we all know that and why. It'll be interesting to see if that comes back or what they're going to do there. Essentially, they removed the entire unit. What you get is the three fairies on their little Segway type thing, and then it goes to a float that has Prince Philip and Aurora on it, which is unfortunate, but I think they're working to correct that and fix it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that's going to come back, but in the meantime, it almost, unless you, if this was your first trip to Magic Kingdom, you don't notice that it's gone.
Yeah, you wouldn't notice it, not at all. And I expect they're working on that. There's a whole bunch of, over at Epcot in the United Kingdom Pavilion, there's a whole bunch of wedding stuff over there for some reason. I don't know, some big wedding in the United Kingdom recently?
Yeah.
Must have been.
It was something. I think it was in the news, but only for a smidgen.
It's kind of cool to see some of that carry over. I'm sure you could find it at a better price somewhere else. But needless to say, it's over there in the Magic Kingdom. What else did I notice? In Muppet Vision 3D, I noticed that Sweetums is now taking part in the pre-show.
I noticed that in April. He comes out and does a little dusting and working up front along the front walkway there by the boxes.
Yes, and I wasn't expecting that. I did notice that it was, you know, roped off in the front, and I wasn't quite sure. And Sweetums made an appearance during the pre-show, which is cool. Nothing wrong with that.
That doesn't happen at every show.
Okay, good to know.
You note that it is roped off, he's coming out.
I got it, and that's right up towards the bottom during the pre-show. Animal Kingdom 20th merchandise is everywhere. It goes back to that merchandise availability thing we talked about earlier, because I think Epcot 35, that stuff blew off the shelves, and there seems to be Animal Kingdom 20 stuff everywhere.
Yes.
Of course, the new redhead scene in Pirates of the Caribbean, if you've not been there in a while, that's something to catch. Lots of construction cranes. A new photo pass opportunity over at Rizzo's in Hollywood Studios, which is kind of cool. The photographers won't tell you, but Rizzo will actually be in the picture with you afterwards.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
That's great.
I wonder if they'll bring more Muppets into the photo pass since Rizzo is making an appearance.
That would be cool. They kind of put you against the green screen, but you're standing next to the wall at Rizzo's Pizzeria, kind of by the Christmas store, and they take the picture, and that's kind of cool. The Incredibles 2 have a preview over at the One Man's Dream Theater, which is kind of cool. You get to see the first 10 minutes of the movie, which is really neat. Some new bubble makers for kids over at Studios, Buzz Lightyear and Stitch.
Yes.
Kids seem to like those.
Bubble makers are huge.
They are huge. It's very rare for you to not walk into a bubble wall.
Which is okay. I'm good with that.
That's why I wear my sunglasses all the time. Not because of the sun, just to, you know, not get the bubbles in my eyes.
Very good. Very good. It's a Small World. The end seems to be working again, where they show you your names at the end of It's a Small World.
Yep, we
did. On the screens.
Yep.
My name never seems to show up, but that's, you know, what can I say?
Mine popped up for the first time ever when I went in March. So I took a picture. I was so excited. So maybe one day we'll get you on that screen there.
Yeah, let's hope so. Some new Happily Ever After merchandise I noticed, including some Mickey ears that light up and the fireworks above the castle, which was kind of cool. That was in the Emporium on Main Street. And other than that, there's construction everywhere, including the entrance to Magic Kingdom. So if you're on a bus or however you're getting there, it's pretty crazy the way that these things are being routed to get you back to the Magic Kingdom. But that's all temporary, and it's going to be much better soon.
That's what I was just saying yesterday morning. I cannot wait until this flyover is done. It is going to be amazing.
It will be, especially when you think, you know, they've moved on from Disney Springs area, and Disney Springs area is great when it comes to traffic. The flow's there. You look at this road, and you go, holy cow, this thing is 8 lanes wide. There's 3 on both sides with a 2-lane busway in the center, and it's just you can't even compare it with the way it used to be there because it was a 4-lane road. Now it's 8. It's just huge.
Yeah, and all that construction is happening all along Lake Buena Vista Boulevard, Lake Buena Vista Drive, rather, and you're going to see a lot of road construction, and that is all leading up to the 50th.
And everything is leading to the 50th, that's for sure. That's all I had. Very quickly going through my photos there. Anything else, Lisa?
I do not have any additional information. I am really excited for every time I go down, I feel like there's just more and more of the gondola posts.
Yes.
And that just means we're getting closer and closer to that transportation system. And I don't know what the expectation date is for that. But I will say, I feel like they're ahead of schedule.
It's definitely looking great, and it's looking much faster than we thought. It'll be interesting to see how these things are going to run, how many people they can get on them. There's a lot of stuff going to happen in a future show. We'll talk about some of this, but if once Galaxy's Edge opens, and if that thing's open till midnight, and you have Illuminations or the new Illuminations wrapping up at 9:30, I think the International Gateway is going to get swamped with people trying to jump on a gondola to go over to spend the last couple of hours of the evening at Studios. It's going to be interesting to see if it can kind of accommodate those people. We'll see. Time will tell.
Time will tell. And with every passing moment, I feel like Epcot is the new time capsule.
Yes, absolutely. And lots of changes coming, and we'll cover those on a future show. Thank you guys for listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Remember the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. Lots of details in the show notes, lots of blogs, additional information and videos that Lisa was talking about from Galaxy's Edge. not from Galaxy's Edge, from Galactic Knights, which featured Galaxy's Edge, and the brand new land, and all the good stuff that happened. So thank you guys for listening. Morgan, you still there?
I'm still here. I'm just listening to all the stuff coming along and the construction and all that, and lots of stuff to listen and see what happens over the next couple of years.
And by the way, thank you for the blogs that you have posted here lately. Some new magic bands coming out of Animal Kingdom, some crafty ideas, some really cool stuff. Thanks, and keep it coming.
No problem. Yeah, hopefully I want to try to just keep everybody posted on magic bands, because there's all these different styles that that they're coming out with lately, and just kind of keep all the Disney nerds in the loop of magic bands and crafty ideas, and hopefully more stuff in the future.
Thank you.
And then Morgan, just one quick thing to our listeners, because not everybody watches the live show on Tuesday nights on Facebook, so they are not aware of all of the hard work that you're doing on Instagram right now. But if you do want one of your pictures posted on our Instagram page, we will tag you. But make sure you send your picture over to Morgan at thedisneynerdspodcast.com. She has been using all of our friends' pictures for our hashtag days. So if you have some old pictures or some new pictures of Walt Disney World and your family, just send an email to Morgan at thedisneynerdspodcast.com.
Yes, guys, I would love to show off all your pictures. We do a hashtag every day. So I have a hashtag for every single day of the week, including Saturday and Sunday. A hashtag for every single park. I have throwback pictures, so send me those old pictures of you and your family. Just whatever you guys want featured on our Instagram as far as Disney pictures are concerned, send them my way, and I would love to share them with our community.
What are the hashtag days again? I know you know them real quick.
On Monday, we have Magic Monday, which is Magic Kingdom Pictures. Tuesday is Transportation Tuesday, so that's when I want to see the monorail, the boat, the minivan, you know, any form of transportation at Disney World. I want to see pictures of it. Wednesday is Wild Wednesday, so that's when I want to see those Animal Kingdom pictures. Thursday is Throwback Thursday, so, of course, I want to see those throwback pictures of you and your family and even the parks. You know, I want, you know, let me see the castle as a birthday cake they did many years ago, something like that. Friday is Fireworks Friday, so I want to see those pictures of all the wonderful fireworks that they have in the parks. Saturday is Studio Saturday, so that's when I want to see those Hollywood Studios pictures. And Sunday is Spaceship Earth Sunday, so those are Epcot pictures. Doesn't have to be Spaceship Earth, but yeah, that's Sunday I want to see those Epcot pictures.
Awesome. Thanks for all the great work, Morgan. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, all the places like Stitcher Radio, Google Play, iTunes. I am Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Congaloosh!
So long, everybody.
Have a magical day, y'all.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your